Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector, who is The Expert Vet. She's a board-certified veterinary internist in Chicago, here to help explain medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you'd like to hear more episodes of this show or any of the Pet Talk shows I co-host with experts, please go to RadioPetLady.com and visit the podcast libraries. And I look forward to seeing you October 2nd and 3rd in New York City at my Dog Film Festival. All the info is at DogFilmFestival.com. The Expert Vet is a production of Eight Paws LLC and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content. And are brought to you by Halo, holistic natural dog and cat foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Can you identify what's on the label of your own dry dog food? Halo uses real meat in their kibble. No rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. Their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pooch's dinner. And Dr. Donna's dream for a super low-carb canned cat food is here. Halo's pate-style cat food has only 5% carbohydrates. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. This show is also brought to you by Canine Active, a safe, non-toxic pain reliever with a proprietary anti-inflammatory ingredient, Alpha-G, made of naturally occurring amino acids and homeopathic compounds known to provide pain relief in dogs without the side effects and risks of drugs. Canine Active is made in America by the company that has had outstanding success with their human product for people with pain who want to avoid ibuprofen and NSAIDs. Now there is Canine Active, an innovative formula for dogs to improve quality of life for the canine members of the family. Canine Active, proven safe and a proven pain reliever. Dr. Donna, I have an email from Teresa who has a standard poodle, and she has a problem or a question, an issue that you tell me is something that you deal with a lot. Before I read it, you get, as a board certified internist, you have many vets calling you and emailing you and then people coming to see you about things they don't understand. Is an elevated liver enzyme something that seems to confound people?
It does. There are many liver enzymes. There are like four or five liver enzymes that come on a standard blood panel. And they each mean something very different, and you know, and having elevations of one is sometimes thought of as meh, not that big of a deal, whereas elevations of others, especially if it's just an isolated elevation, it's the only abnormality, can be really significant. So it's understanding that, yes, it's a liver enzyme, but each one in its elevation and how elevated it is really important and really gives us clues as to what could be going on as the underlying condition.
As part of our continuing education, as your students at your feet, will you help us remember or understand again? I know we've talked about liver enzymes before, but mm-hmm. remind us again about how the liver functions as a filter, how the blood gets cleaned, if you will, through it, and what do we mean by enzymes? Many of us kind of mm-hmm. know what a digestive enzyme is, but I'm mm-hmm. not sure we really know what a liver enzyme is.
Yeah. So as you've already pointed out, the liver is a filtering organ. So all of the blood that comes, the dirty blood kind of coming from the intestine that's carrying, yes. you know, that's carrying all sorts of stuff, including like bacteria byproducts and toxins and, you know, a little of this, a little of that. It all gets filtered through the liver, and the liver is set up for that. It has a lot of blood flow, and it's got a lot of cells in there that scavenge all these bad pieces and parts and help them become less toxic.
Wow.
And then, you know, kind of delivers the fresher, healthier blood to the rest of the body system. So the enzymes, really what they are is there are little kind of particles, if you want to think of them as
okay.
little tiny bits that sit inside liver cells. And if a liver cell is damaged, this little bit might escape out into the bloodstream. And that's what we call a liver enzyme. It's this little bit of an inside of the liver cell.
So what we're saying is when the liver is unwell, when it has been abused, hurt,
damaged
in some way, the way we know that, our clue is that we're finding these enzymes floating in the blood when they should be nicely safe inside their cell, doing their job inside the liver.
Exactly. And there is a normal amount of cell death. You know, every organ we have is constantly in a state of a few cells die, your body makes a few new cells. You know, it's constantly sort of turning over. So there are normal ranges of what we expect to see in the blood for a liver enzyme. But if that liver is damaged somehow or undergoes an insult, the all of a sudden, more of those enzymes, more of those little bits show up in the bloodstream. And that's a clue, like, wow, your liver, something is not right. It's, you know, there's something abnormal. So it just depends on, there are little enzymes, these little bits can come from inside the liver cell. It can come from outside the liver, but like sitting right on the surface of the cell. And those are the two types. There's like one that sits more on the outside surface of the liver cell and one that that comes from the inside. The reason the, and we'll let you read through your email, because the enzyme that Teresa is talking about is the liver enzyme that comes from inside the liver cell. And it's called the ALT. And it's a really interesting liver enzyme. It is the most liver specific. It's not found in any other part of the body, a little bit in the muscles, but not much. And any increase in this enzyme only happens when the liver cell is damaged or dead.
Whoa.
And it has a really short, it lives in the bloodstream only a really short time, only like about 2 to 3 days. So if your vet is watching this ongoing elevation, this ALT is elevated. They check it in 2 weeks, still elevated. They check it in 2 months, it's still elevated. That is not the same enzyme floating around. It means that there is ongoing liver damage and death, and that it keeps being damaged, and there's something going on to cause that. That's why an ALT elevation is so important to pay attention to, because it means, hey, my liver cells are dying over here. It's different than some of the other enzymes we've talked about before, like the alkaline phosphatase, the ALP, you know, and I know these are very,
it's
you know,
so annoying that the darn scientists make everything sound so similar. They just change one letter or one number or something. And my dogs are like, yeah, really? I'm not kidding. Well, because when you say that there's cell death all the time, natural, healthy cell death, if you will, normal to us, our skin, our organs, and to our animals, what does, how does that figure in noticing this death in the bloodstream as being bad?
Well, if I'm understanding your question correctly, so if you draw a blood panel, perfectly normal dog, no abnormalities, you're going to have measurable levels of liver enzymes because of this constant turnover of cells that is considered normal.
Okay.
But if it even pops out of that range a little bit, mildly, moderately, severely out of that range, it gives us an idea of how much death or damage is going on.
Way beyond just a normal turnover.
Right, because we expect turnover, but that's been well documented.
Okay, so in other words, there's some level all the time that is a healthy, normal level of enzymes.
And that's what gives us our normal blood range on
a
blood panel.
I see, good to know. Yes, because those normal ranges for everything have to have been determined in some way from somewhere. So there's no such thing as zero. Everyone and every dog should have some as part of natural turnover.
And that's when, if you look at your blood panels, like you always look at the normal reference range.
Right.
That's how those normals are established. They look at thousands and thousands and thousands of dogs, and they all fit in that range. You're like, okay, that's normal.
Right. That's normal. It doesn't mean you're just a little sick. It means you're absolutely normal.
Right.
Okay. So here's Teresa's email. We'll take a quick break before reading it, just so that we have our little breaks out of the way. But it's something that any of you listening could wind up in her shoes, which is this elevated ALT that's going on and maybe even rising. And you're doing a bunch of different things. And Teresa's wondering, well, I've done several things, but nothing has changed. Now what do I do? We'll be right back with Dr. Donna's answer. The Radio Pet Lady Network is brought to you in part by Spot Platinum, an allergy test to determine which elements in your dog's environment or diet may be causing his scratching or licking. Spot Platinum can detect allergies for which they can make a USDA-approved oral spray custom-tailored to your dog's specific needs to control his symptoms. Spot Platinum is a privately owned company that has done more than 500,000 allergy tests over 25 years. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. Support for this show also comes from VaxaCheck, a simple test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog or puppy is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. Shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones and avoid unnecessarily over-vaccinating dogs. VaxaCheck for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxaCheck for cats is coming soon. We are back. So, Dr. Donnett, we're talking about this ongoing ALT elevation. In normal, what should be normal blood work, a dog's ALT liver enzyme is consistently elevated. So in her case, it seems like her vet jumped in and definitely has done some diagnostic things. Dear Tracy and Dr. Donna, my standard poodle's ALT has been going as high as 800. Now, what is the normal, Dr. Donna?
It goes up to about 100. And so this is an 8-time normal elevation, which is significant. This is what we would call a moderate elevation.
Only moderate, but sounds
scary. We see some dogs go up to 3,000, which is severe. But
and that's probably what Teddy had when he had his liver cancer, right? I mean, if you have something really tremendously bad.
But this is considered moderate.
Okay. We have done ultrasound bile acid tests, which I'd love you to explain, and it shows normal. Now, I don't know what shows normal. Maybe the liver itself?
Yep, probably.
The vet here in Oregon put him on Liver Happy for 6 months. You'll tell us what Liver Happy is. I've never heard of it. With a diet of sweet potatoes and turkey with added nutrients. The recheck levels were 118. So now you're just a titch above. I love that word of yours, titch. A titch above the 100 high normal. Started feeding raw with the Honest Kitchen and no Liver Happy. Retested levels back to 515, still 5 times the high normal. Right? I'm learning this on the go. His energy is great, not feeling bad at all. What is my next step without doing a biopsy? Or is that my next step? So let's take this apart. So it goes up, and so the vet does an ultrasound. Is that to show if the liver looks normal on an ultrasound, nice and smooth and round and where it should be?
So this veterinarian has done a really nice evaluation.
Wonderful.
The bile acid test is usually the next step. You say, okay, you've got this elevation of ALT. Let's see if your liver is really functioning. Okay, so this is an enzyme that says, it's a red flag. Hi, I have liver cell death. And the bile acid test says, overall, when you look at the whole liver mass, how is it functioning? So it looks at just a different sort of quantitative.
And how is that test? Is that test done with blood or a biopsy? No.
It's blood. It's blood. Done with you take a blood sample, you challenge the dog with a meal, and then you measure the toxin levels a couple hours later. So it's a pretty simple blood test.
So it's
test.
Sort of like a glucose test, but it's done with the bile acid.
Right.
Now, what is Liver Happy? Is that a product like Denamarin?
It is. It's actually a Chinese herbal remedy. Yes, it has things like, the things to like soothe liver. It's got, Bupleurum, Angelica. I mean, it's the same sort of stuff as, it's I don't know if it has milk thistle in it or not, but it's a Chinese herbal remedy for soothing liver.
Okay, now maybe she has a holistic vet, which is great. We love holistic vets, but given the vast, endless waves of negativity about products from China, be they flooring in California, I'm sort of behind on my 60 Minutes, but you're like, wow, even the flooring is toxic and intended to be or made with the knowledge of it, as well as chicken jerky or the ingredients that have gone into some American pet foods. If Liver Happy is from Chinese medicine, but is it the name of an actual brand name, Liver Happy?
No.
Or can anybody, any holistic herbal kind of vet, put together things and call them Liver Happy?
Well, it's, I think a couple things here. Chinese herbal therapies, many of these products are U.S. generated, grown, produced. It's a therapy. It's kind of like saying, I'm trying to think of a good analogy. I mean, the name of the therapeutic approach is the Chinese herbal remedy. It originated in China. It doesn't mean that these products are from China. So it's just that's where the herbal therapies, originated in. So whenever people are talking about it, they're still talking about Chinese therapies, but these products are often USA made.
Okay.
And
so
products are not coming from China. It's just, that's the name of the therapy.
Okay. The name of the therapy. So it could be his own concoction. He may have bought it from here, there, or everywhere. Or
right.
Perhaps even mixed it himself. And then my only question about that, although she got a good result, although we don't know if it was also changing the diet, who knows, possibly, is I wonder how much consistency there is in knowing the quality and the quantity of the various ingredients that make up a holistic product. I'm not one who believes that every single thing on the whole market, in the whole marketplace for dogs or humans, needs to be tested in a lab, because that's a wildly expensive process that can usually only be afforded by a big pharmaceutical company like the one that makes Denimarin. However, if you have a dog who has some potentially serious problems, and Denimarin is not made of evil things. It's not like something that's made of scary ingredients, right? And this is not a plug for anything, but it's really a question. Do you want to give what sounds all nice and holistic and herby, but not know for sure that everything in there is as potent as it should be or is in the balance it should be? And I know you are a believer in not so many, but a few, very seriously you believe in certain, you know, made by serious companies, if you will, big, fat, serious companies, products. Is it not perhaps preferable to use a Denimarin in a case like this rather than something that is of unknown, let's say the origin's totally American, but nonetheless quantitative, qualitative, have the herbs been sitting on a shelf for 20 years or 20 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, my training is as such that, you know, I think there is something really, really significant about quality control, quality assurance, that I know if I want to give a product to a dog that I think, you know, really needs it for a particular reason, I want to have assurance based on company standards that I can believe in. And so, you know, not without getting too far off topic of it, I mean, I think that's one thing that we don't have a great regulation on supplements that we give dogs in this country. And so it's, you know, I mean, I think, you know, it's all about the personal relationships and whether this vet, you know, what they're comfortable with. But, you know, for myself, I, you know, when I'm using a medication to hopefully get an effect, I want to have a certain amount of research that I believe in.
And I don't think it's off topic. I really think it's on topic, because here's somebody who is clearly going in for these tests, taking it seriously, doing further testing. And if you have an aging dog like my Jazzy, who's been on, you know, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories for years because there's no choice, and various other tramadol and gabapentin, and I'm sure those things are, each of them has a liver effect. If you want to just give something to mitigate the possibility of liver damage, or you know it's a burden on the liver, then I could, this is just my personal opinion, I could see giving something that's more Chinese medicine-y, more like a nice stabilizer, something that, you know, if it helps, great. If it doesn't help a ton, maybe there's not a ton wrong anyway. Right. And I'm a supplement taker myself, and I now only will use a particular brand. There may be others called NOW. I don't know what it stands for, but it has that seal on it that says it is guaranteed that this has the exact amounts of what it says are in it on it. Do you know that seal called GMP or something? It's some supplementation seal. But if I had a dog who showed a problem, then to me, it's like, I need serious medicine here. You know, serious fixative medicine. So that's just my personal opinion, that if you have something where you're dealing with a fairly intense problem, it's chronic because it's gone on a long time, but it's kind of acute because the liver's pretty serious organ.
Right.
I myself would go full bore. What is the sweet potatoes and potatoes with turkey? I mean, what is the idea behind
that? That isn't actually really relevant to this at all.
I didn't think so.
The point is, I think they were trying to go to a diet probably that had no preservatives, nothing that was necessarily going to affect the liver. So here we have the standard poodle with, you know, elevations of ALT as high as 800, added some sort of liver support. Recheck levels were a lot better, almost normal at 118.
Right.
And most of the time, that's reaching the normal ranges. And then you know, how we didn't get the time frame, but
I'm
assuming months later or weeks later, you know, the values are 515. This is common. We see ups and downs. And this often leads to the feeling of, oh, it's getting better. Oh, it's getting worse. Oh, it's getting worse.
Right.
The point is, if it's an ongoing, and it never did reach normal.
That's right.
And, you know, the up and down with liver support, without liver support, it still is an abnormality of this ALT enzyme. And the most common cause of just an ALT elevation, no other liver enzymes, a happy, healthy, feeling great dog, the most common thing that comes from is a condition called chronic hepatitis.
Whoa.
Hepatitis is, you know, when you break it down, hepa means liver, itis means inflammation. So it's liver inflammation. The inflammation, it's a problem because it goes on in over months to years. It leads on to scar tissue, fibrosis, and eventually cirrhosis, which you've probably heard of people who
die of it.
Cirrhosis. So ultimately, it can lead to liver failure and death. And so what starts as a very benign, because when the liver is inflamed, as you might imagine, the cells start to die because they're inflamed, they're under duress, the enzymes leak out, they're found in the blood. And, you know, so this is, and again, it's only typically happens with the ALT, not the other liver enzymes, which is interesting. So hepatitis in the dog can have a lot of different causes. But the ones that we've talked about before and the ones that are the most important and also, unfortunately, the most common are immune causes of inflammation. So kind of like lupus, you know, lupus is when your body turns against itself.
Yes.
Your own immune system starts to destroy your liver in this case. The other is copper storage. Remember, we've talked a lot about dogs who store copper.
Like the Bedlington Terrier.
Yep. The copper is inflammatory. It causes liver cell death, and you get this ALT elevation. So the two biggies are that we see dogs with this hepatitis being caused by copper storage or being caused by an immune lupus-like sort of disorder where the immune system is actually killing the liver. This disease, this hepatitis, is recognized, can be in any breed of dog, but several studies have documented dogs with high incidence, and those include, amongst one, the standard poodle.
I'll be darned.
Bedlingtons, Cockers, Dobermans, Labrador Retrievers, which we've talked about before, Westies, Jack Russells, Scotties, Great Danes, Dalmatians. I mean, the list goes on.
My goodness. You see that if you have that breed, you should be testing with some regularity. And then if you see it, nipping it in the bud early and then dealing with it in the ways that you're going to tell us after the break is a way to keep this chronic situation, to keep the inflammation tamped down, to cool it down, to chill it out. Right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
We're going to be right back after this quick break with news on what you should do if you have one of these breeds or any sort of dog. Mixed breed, of course, could be mixed with any of those breeds and be unfortunately prone to it. What to do when you see these elevations. Waiting and watching is not our favorite, not on this show and not on the Pet Cancer Vet. If you wait and watch, you're probably waiting and watching disease progress. That's probably not what you really thought you were doing. We'll be right back after this quick break. This show is made possible in part by Precious Cat Litter, owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian in Colorado who has created many different low-dust litters for the health of all members of the family, cats or people with asthma and allergies. Precious Cat also makes litter for the special needs of many cats, from kitten attract litter that helps youngsters develop good habits to cat attract litter that helps those with out of litter box issues get back in the box. Precious Cat's Touch of the Outdoors litter provides environmental enrichment, bringing to indoor cats the natural scent of the outdoors from field grasses grown in their own fields. This show is also brought to you by Meow Space, a clear ventilated enclosure that can be a one cat feeding space, a litter box station, or even a safe place to nap, designed so that only one cat with a unique access device can enter the see-through box. Meow Space is made in the USA to solve out of litter box problems and individualized feeding needs in multi-cat households. Big enough for large cats to do their business or small dogs to eat their own food in peace, Meow Space benefits the whole family because it also keeps dogs and small children out of the litter box too. Go to meowspace.biz. That's meowspace.biz to see for yourself. So Dr. Donna, everyone, you know, that is a wonderful pet owner and goes to the vet regularly and then goes, okay, I'm spending this time and this money and I'm worrying and am I gnawing my cuticles, but we'll just wait and watch and see what happens. Meanwhile, bad things are going on inside. Mm-hmm. And is a biopsy seems a very frightening thing to some people. Can you describe what takes place in a liver biopsy for a dog? What is involved?
Yep, I certainly can. And I just want to go back just a little bit to the hepatitis conversation. We're having this chronic hepatitis. We talked about the breeds. Any breed can be affected, but it's particularly the laundry list I gave you. And what's most interesting is that dogs generally become affected very commonly between 3 or 4 years of age. So that's when we, a lot of times, if we look back in the history of these dogs, the first liver enzyme elevations often occur around 3 to 4 years of age.
Oh my goodness.
The average age when these dogs present sick, vomiting, diarrhea, weight loss, lethargy, signs of liver failure.
Don't tell me.
Is between 6 and 10 years of age.
So they've been waiting and watching and not understanding right. that had they interceded, they wouldn't have the dog sick at that age.
And so that's an important segue into biopsy.
Yes.
Because it is a hard sell. I do it all the time. It's a hard sell to go into a room with a client with a Labrador Retriever, 4 years of age, bouncing around the
yes,
room,
yes.
healthy, happy, gaining weight, if
yes,
anything,
yes.
not sick at all. And I go in and say, oh, I think your dog could have significant liver disease that we need to head off at the pass.
Yes.
And I'm going to have to do, you know, a biopsy, which agreed is, you know, it's definitely a little more invasive than your basic procedure.
Right.
It's, and you know, it involves an anesthetic. It involves a biopsy. You know, it's not just like a, you know, not a, I mean, it's a routine.
It's not
procedure.
A needle biopsy, right? You actually have to cut the skin and take a little piece of the liver.
Well, we can do biopsies multiple ways, but the point is it's tough to go into the room with
yes.
a, you know, and it's expensive. I mean, you're going to probably pay between, depending on, you know, what, where you are in the on the world here. And, you know, and if you have pet insurance or not, but you know, it's easily could be $1,000 to $2,000.
It's a lot of money
for a, again, what an owner sees is like, well, my dog's not sick.
Right.
Why would I possibly do this?
Right.
And so, and it, again, we expect in early stages, these dogs are not sick. Their physical exam is completely boring. The only thing we have is an elevated ALT, the bile acids, like Teresa had done, are usually normal at that stage. The ultrasound can even look normal. So I go back in and say, great, everything looks normal. We need to biopsy. And they're like,
what are you,
that doesn't
nuts?
Sound right. Because that's when we want to catch these dogs. It's all about early detection, just like Dr. Sue always talks about.
Yes.
It's early detection. This enzyme only lives in the blood for 2 days. If it is going on for months, this liver is dying every day.
Wow.
And I try to impart that to my clients. So the biopsy process, it can be done one of two ways. One is that you can do an ultrasound-guided biopsy.
Okay.
Dog goes under anesthesia. You put the ultrasound probe on the belly. No incisions are made.
Wow.
But you just, you know, the needle biopsy can go right through the abdomen, right through the wall, and right into the liver, and you take multiple biopsies. There are pros and cons. The pieces you get are going to be smaller. And in some ways, you know, it can be not quite as safe as an open biopsy, because if the liver starts to bleed a little, you're on the outside,
right.
The liver's on the inside.
Right.
You know, there's
so
not.
So is this the sort of thing that's done sometimes for men with elevated prostate levels?
Yeah.
I think they call them punch biopsies.
Punch biopsies through the
same thing.
Exactly.
They do needles through the testicle, and they take little, supposedly
right.
smallish samples.
Right. So the other way to get a biopsy is open surgery. The dog still goes under anesthesia. An incision is made into the body cavity.
Right.
And you open up and you grab a hold of the liver. You take a look at it. You biopsy it in multiple places. You know, on the left, on the right, in the middle, anywhere that looks slightly abnormal or normal. And if it bleeds, you're right there. You can apply pressure. You can put blood clotting agents on there.
Right. Because the liver has the propensity to bleed because it's so blood rich. Yes.
And you get bigger pieces, therefore better prognostic information, better information. I always, always push my owners to consider open surgical biopsies, even in these healthy young dogs. As a matter of fact, I'm doing one on Thursday.
No
because
kidding.
I have this dog, the dog we're talking about right now,
yes.
could be the dog that I'm seeing on Thursday. We've already gone through all the normal ultrasound,
right.
the normal bile acids, you know, and I've encouraged them. Now, this is where laparoscopy can also be very helpful, because laparoscopy is the best of both worlds.
Yes.
Small incisions, teeny tiny, just like you would, you know, people
right.
who have their gallbladders out.
Right.
Tiny incisions. Bigger pieces than what you get with ultrasound, better ability to control blood, you know, blood bleeding. So if you live somewhere where you've got access to specialists that can do laparoscopy, that's fantastic. It's a little less invasive and still really good information.
Is that something you personally do?
I do. Not in this current practice that I'm in, because they don't have the equipment, I have been trained in laparoscopy, yes.
That's pretty cool. What kind of dog are you doing on Thursday?
A Labrador Retriever.
Wow. What age?
Six years old.
And he's had these constantly elevated ALTs?
Since 2013.
Wow. And so you're sort of jonesing to get in there because you wish mm-hmm. you could have done this in 2013.
Right.
So he's only just come to you. He's a new patient to you.
Right. New patient to us. Yep.
Wow. And he still seems fairly well other than the bad blood work.
Yes.
So they might be getting it early, although by the time you have physical symptoms, you have a lot of damage done and perhaps a lot of liver cell death.
That's the important take-home point. By the time these dogs are sick, there's sometimes very little we can do.
Right.
And, you know, at that point, we're giving average survival times of 12 to 18 months.
Ouch. So,
as opposed to now, if we get it early, like Teresa. Teresa,
yes.
If you're listening, please biopsy your dog's liver.
That standard poodle.
Because that's when we want to catch them. And it's very interesting because I work on the lab end, as you know, as well. So I do phone consultations for veterinarians across the entire country. So if a veterinarian is going to biopsy, let's use Teresa as an example. They're going to biopsy Teresa's dog's liver. This dog is healthy, happy, doing really well. They biopsy the liver. They read the biopsy. And they say, it's just mild inflammation. Not that big of a deal. And the biopsy comes back and says, oh, it's just mild. We wouldn't expect, you know, this to be responsible for illness. Well, right.
Because the dog's not ill yet. Right.
So don't ignore mild inflammation on the biopsies because we don't expect it to be severe at that point, but we do expect there to be something abnormal, and it still is an indication for treatment at that point. And that's where, again, I get so many veterinarians that call and they're like, oh, we went through all this. We biopsied the liver, and here's my biopsy. And I'm reading the biopsy. I'm like, fantastic. You got your answer.
Right. And, you know, so, and they don't see the answer because it's not flashing neon.
Well, because it's not a super sick patient.
Right. And you know, it's not super high inflammation.
Right. But it is inflammation. And that's the whole point is low grade, chronic, mild inflammation gradually leads to more severe, gradually leads to scar tissue, leads to cirrhosis, leads to death.
And leads to death of the liver and death then of the dog very prematurely. So what is the solution to that? Is it a product like Adenamarin that the dog's on for life?
No. So the whole reason for the biopsy is to define and diagnose definitively what this is. Is it immune inflammation? Is this like a lupus-like attack of your liver? Is this dog storing copper? Does this dog have evidence of a chronic leptospirosis infection?
Wow.
Does this dog have, you know, I mean, there's so many different things that can cause.
Well, liver cancer too. Ouch.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. And so once you get the biopsy, I will tell you the most common thing we see is the lupus-like disease where the immune system is overactive and is killing off the liver.
Nice.
And because of that, these dogs actually go on immunotherapy. They, you know, we always think of prednisone or steroids as the drug of like, that's what suppresses the immune system. It's fallen out of favor for liver diseases. Some people still use it, but it's a medicine like that, something that's going to turn off the immune system, turn off the attack on the liver, decrease the immune inflammation. So these dogs actually are going on to hefty medications. If they have truly immune hepatitis where their immune system's killing the liver, they're on immune suppressant medications. Again, steroids, not so much, but things like cyclosporin, you know,
I'll be darned.
There's a lot of other things.
Forever.
Just like if you were a transplant patient. I mean, this is the same kind of meds that are being used. We generally supplement their diets with, you know, depending, vitamin E, zinc. It just depends on what type of disease is going on. Yes, Adenamarin is part of that because the reason Adenamarin works is it helps the liver do its normal things.
Yes.
So it adds like it's an antioxidant and it helps the liver just not have so much work to do. So it's part of the treatment, but it's not the crux or the cornerstone.
Right.
Of the treatment.
Right. So in wrapping up, this is why you do it, guys. And this is why you have pet insurance. I'm telling you, you've got to get pet insurance because these things crop up. You got this dog from the shelter or you got this puppy young. It could take a year or two or three or four. We hope never. But suddenly blood work looks fishy. You need to have the freedom to do the maximum because cutting your dog's lifespan in half or in a third less is certainly not what you want, nor to have them be incredibly ill and sick because I'm sure having cirrhosis or hepatitis, chronic hepatitis, you know, like really serious hepatitis, you feel sick all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want that either. Dr. Donna, this is a great show. Great to realize how many of the things that we all shrug and go, oh, that's just mildly outside of normal. That mildly outside of normal is a definite warning sign in some cases. And keep listening to the expert vet if you guys want to know what the other things are. We're going to keep chipping away at what is abnormal and normal and what you can do about it. Thank you, Dr. Donna.
Thank you.